Hello everybody, my name is Anne Teato and welcome to the Psychic Matters podcast, episode number 46. Well, I'm happy to say that we were in the final slate of 10 nominees for the People's Choice Podcast Awards in the Religion and Spirituality category, which is a really huge achievement. Massive thanks to all of you who voted and who were so supportive, commenting and cheering me on our Psychic Matters Facebook group page. That really did mean the world to me, so thank you so much for doing that. Unfortunately, we did not take home the award, but the good news is we do get a trophy. Hooray! The bad news is we have to pay for the trophy. Boo! $215. That's about 158 quid. Now, much as I would love to have a trophy, a great memento of our achievement, if I had £158, I would rather spend it on podcast equipment or on getting an episode transcribed by somebody else. So I'd have to spend a whole day doing it myself. Or I'd pay my rent, frankly. In fact, actually, I'd rather spend it on podcast equipment and go and live in the shed. So I don't think I'll be able to afford a trophy, but hey, it's all good. I can maybe print off a piece of paper on Canva with a photo of a trophy on it, put it in a frame on the wall, and that should work, shouldn't it? If you've got any ideas, do head over to our Facebook group page. Let me know your thoughts on podcast trophies or any paranormal topic. Always happy to chat over there. Okay, so this week I have had the absolute pleasure of interviewing a very good friend of mine, someone I have always looked up to. This lady is a phenomenal psychic medium. She is dedicated to her craft and the accuracy of her readings is incredible. She has trained hard to get where she is today and she has managed to get herself through some of the hardest of life's challenges. And as a result, she has developed the most beautiful, loving heart. I hope you enjoy every moment of this episode with my wonderful guest, Dee Summers, and learn through her teachings how you can embrace your spiritual gifts. I'm joined in the Psychic Matters studio today by psychic medium Dee Summers. Dee, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Anne, for inviting me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Dee. I've known you for quite some time, but I don't know your personal story and what led you into mediumship, because currently, where are we now? September 2021. You are at this moment, I believe, working as a psychic medium. You're incredibly busy. You've just squeezed me into your schedule. You're a psychic medium doing all these private sittings. You're out there doing demonstrations and working. But I know that before this point, there was a big backstory. So where would you like to begin, Dee?
I think I'd like to really start from the beginning. And that's when, as far back as I can remember, actually seeing spirits, which was probably 2 to 3 years of age, because I can remember still being in a cot. It was a little bit difficult and a bit frightening because my mum was Italian and she brought us all up as a Catholic, and which was great. So, but she didn't understand what was happening. And she used to tell me later on in life that I used to say to her, there was a gentleman walking around my room with a top hat on. She said to me, I used to think there's something wrong with my child. So through my life growing up, my mum used to spend her time throwing holy water on me because she used to think that I was mad, or that I was the devil. I had all these things and it was really difficult. So she took me to lots of doctors, to lots of priests. And it was quite sad. I became quite insular in myself because I didn't know who to talk to. And that caused then depression. I just went into myself.
But that must have been difficult, Dee, if you weren't able to tell her what you were seeing or tell her what you were feeling and experiencing.
Yes, because it would just come out in maybe short snaps of things like, you know, I've just seen a lady here and she's offering me this was, I didn't realize at the time it was my grandmother, but she was offering me, she had a big bowl and it was as if she was making a cake. And then she was trying to put the wooden spoon with the actual ingredients into my mouth. It was like real, but that was scary because I didn't know who this was. I knew it wasn't real though in my head, yeah. Because it's like they were there and then they disappeared. So I used to say all these things and my family just honestly, they thought I was mad. So I ended up going then from a Catholic school to a convent to a Protestant school. And now it started all over again. And so I became very quiet and didn't know what to do with all this and used to have bad nightmares and everything. And then I just want to fast forward to when I was 23. I had been so depressed. I even thought of taking my own life, which I did try to do, because there was nobody around me to tell me, you know, this is okay. This is spirit. Yeah. And they're wanting you to acknowledge them so that you can work with them, which I didn't know then. My mum had a shop and one day I went down into the shop. I'd always had these feelings about things and I could hear people talking about a lady called Christina. And I don't know, it just resonated. The name resonated. And I said to my mum, who is this Christina? And she said, she's a clairvoyant. And then she went, I think you should go. And I went, oh, right. Okay. You need to go because there's something wrong with you. So she said, it's my last thing that I need to do with you. I ended up going and this lady, Anne, she saved my life. This medium saved my life. And because of her, I now try to carry on her work, which is through mental health. I remember sitting in front of her. I was 23, but I looked 33. I'd gone through a lot in my life to do with abuse, mental bullying, and all sorts, and it wasn't nice. It was, in fact, a very hard childhood. And she sat down. It was the first time I'd ever had a reading. She brought my nan through, my nan on my dad's side through, who I absolutely adored. And she actually taught me how to read and everything. Because my mum, being Italian, she couldn't really speak the language and my dad was never home. So she brought her through and said, you know, what she was wearing. But the most thing that really did it for me was that I never liked dolls when I was younger. I love animals and I liked teddy bears and everything. But I had one doll and Christina said to me, I have to tell you, your grandmother here is telling me about this name, that it's very significant to you. And the name was Bella. I went, oh my God, that was the one doll that I had. And she was called Bella. Now I was listening. Now I'm thinking, this person knows things. She then told me things that I had seen that nobody knew about. And she just sort of told me about her life, which she said was the similar to what I'd been going through. And so she'd said, oh, you've been like a little fish that's been battered and battered against the rocks. But now's your time to know the reason why these things are happening to you is so that you can help people later on in your life, because you will do this work, but it won't be till you're 50. And my goodness, she was right. So it took that time then. She then said to me, I'd like to come back to the circle. I didn't know what that was. I was very scared. And when I did decide to go back, I thought it was going to be like the table was going to levitate. People were going to come out at me, you know, the ghost, a bit like ghosts with Whoopi Goldberg. Anyway, I decided to go back. And she said to me that if I had not gone back, she knew that I would be 6 foot under. And she then helped me for 7 years to get me right, because I thought that I was going mad. And so I was in her development circle, but I then used to take her everywhere and she used to do a lot of platform reading, lots of services. And she helped so many people because, like she said to me, if you haven't gone through all these things in your life, how can you help somebody else? If you've not weep yourself, if you haven't gone through all those emotions, how are you going to be able to help people? Yes, your mediumship's going to come in, but you want to be healing people, helping them, especially through mental health, because people may be wanting to try and commit suicide, or they're at a very bad place with grief. All sorts of reasons really have come out of very bad relationships. And she said, because you use that as an imprint when you're going into doing a reading with somebody, spirit will work with you where they'll give you that vision. They'll give you in your mind's eye a situation that you were in, so that when you start talking about what's going on in their life, you can go back to that time when it happened to you, so you can give more empathy, and that helps then. And then what happens is, as you're talking, you're starting to heal as well with your words. And that's what Christina gave to me. And that's how I do my readings. And I also help people that were like me, who see things and feel things and they're scared. And now I can say, no, it's okay. You need to go here. You need to go and see this person, or come with me and I'll help you. That's how it sort of started, where I started to believe in it. But going forward again, I still was scared of seeing spirit. I blocked it down. I'd shut it down. Visually, I didn't want to see them because I was too scared. Then one day, where it really started, was my sister, unfortunately, suddenly died. She'd gone into hospital. She was going for an X-ray. And as she got up from the bed, she had an embolism and died straight away. So it was a real shock, and she was only 34. And we used to laugh about the spirit world. She was very witty and very funny, and she never really believed it, even though she was quite psychic herself, you know. But she used to be really funny and laugh about it. So we went to the hospital, myself and my mom and my partner. And I remember, I think my brother was in Hong Kong at the time. My sister, my dad was in Ireland. My sister was in, I think she was at the Trafford Centre, and she didn't have a phone on. So it all ended up that, you know, we got mum in the car, we got to the hospital. Highfield, it was a private hospital. And she was, when we got there, she was still warm. I know that sounds awful, she was still warm. My mum, well, you can imagine losing your daughter. She went over, I just remember Anne standing at the bottom of the bed with my partner, Yanni. And my mum had her arms over my sister, Marina, and she was crying. And all of a sudden, and even my partner to this day, he felt this. Between us, it went really cold. And then I looked down, and she was smaller than me. So I'm about 5'2". She was about 4'11". And she always used to hold you and put her head on your shoulder. And I felt this very light pressure of somebody putting their head on my shoulder. And as I turned around, Anne, she was there. I'm going cold now. She was confused, Anne. She was so confused. And this is what she gave me. And she didn't understand why my mum was crying. And she didn't understand why she was still in the bed, because she was next to me. And I had to turn round to her and say, Marina, you're dead. And she was like, no. I said, you're dead. And that's how I had to say it. It's almost like she disappeared, but she was still there. They had to take her to a morgue, which was a hospital called Birch Hill. And she never wanted to go to this hospital in her life. And they said to me, we're taking her to Birch Hill. Do you want to meet us there? I thought, oh God, no, she don't like this hospital. We got in the car. I wasn't driving. Yanni was driving. And I was in the passenger seat. And as clear as day, and as you can see my face, my sister appeared, just her face, but it was almost in the windscreen. So what they say to you, Anne, is when you die, that you see a video of your life go in front of you. And do you know something? I saw a video of my sister's life and my life together. Now, it wasn't all the good things. It was all the things where we may have hurt one another, said things we didn't realize we'd hurt one another. And it was all those things that came. And you know what? It was so amazing, because I went, "Oh, Marina, I'm so sorry. I did not realize." And she went, "I'm going to forgive you. And I hope you forgive me because I feel the same. I'm so sorry." And do you know what? I think that's why I was able to continue and help the family, because we forgave one another there and then. When we got to the hospital, Anne, we got to the morgue, she was not there. Her spirit had gone. I thought, oh my God. And so then trying to explain to the family, they weren't having any of this. But going forward, eventually, they all had their own little pockets of feeling my sister. And they started to now realise that there was something that I'd got. And that was really when it really did start. My mediumship really started to go from that point, because when she passed, I did see her quite a lot, and she was showing me things in the spirit world, things that I, you know, you just can't make up. But I did keep it quite quiet because of people saying the way I was. And then I just got on with my career and my life. But people started to say to me, "Oh, you're a witch." Well, I'm not a witch. If I'm a white witch, if you like. And they used to ask me things, you know, will you tell me something, you know? And so I did that through my life. And then, but I became a wedding and event planner. And it used to be really funny because I had my own shop. I had quite a lot of staff. And it used to be really funny because when my clients used to come to me and I used to do like a consultation, they used to say, "Oh my God, it's like you've got in my head. You know exactly what I want for my wedding," you know. And I used to laugh to myself because I thought, I know, this is my intuition. This is my psychic ability. And you know what? It really helped. It helped my job. And so what happened though? Everybody wanted me then to do their weddings because I knew what they wanted and I was in their head. It started to then make sense, all these things. So it wasn't until then I lost everything in my life, which was the second time, and I was nearly homeless and my partner left and I lost my business and everything, that, you know, when you're on the floor again. I remember coming up to 50, like Christina had said, because she'd said I'd have a career. And I was so down, trying to find somewhere for my son and I to live and the cats, because we weren't leaving the cats. And I was in bed one evening and I suddenly heard my name being called, but it wasn't frightening. And it was D. And I sat up and I thought, oh, goodness. And then I had a bag, like a Tesco bag, on the floor, and it was rustling. And I thought, oh no, the cats have brought a little mouse in, little field mice, because we live up in the, you know, on the fields, on the hills. So I got up and I looked in the bag. There was nothing in there. It was just a tissue. I thought, oh dear. So I got back in bed. And then I started hearing all this knocking on the wardrobes. And I thought, oh, now one time, Anne, I'd have been scared. But you know, I just thought there's something in this. And you know, the weird thing is, I actually went onto a psychic line in the middle of the night and I started to speak to this guy. I remember he was called Patrick. Because I was so low and everything, I hadn't told him all these things was happening to me. And he just said to me, "Do you know that you can do this work? You can help so many people." And I went, "No, I can't." He said, "Yes, you can." He said, "You need to go to," and he told me the college, the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Science and Spiritualism. And I didn't even know what that was. And he said, "Look it up." And he actually gave me the name of a medium, which was Tim Abbott. And as soon as I got off that psychic line, the next day I rang Tim and he said, "Oh, I can't believe you got me, because I'm normally everywhere else." And then he told me about a course at the Arthur Findlay College with Libby Clark, which was to do with almost like, so you want to be a medium type of thing. He said, "I'm on that course, but it won't be till June." And this was in January. Well, I got on, I booked the course, didn't know what I was doing. I ended up going there. I was on my own. And I got there and I was so scared because it looks like, it's a beautiful manor house, but it looked like Hogwarts. And they called it Spooks Hall. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Oh, my God. What am I doing? And as I started, we have to fill all these forms in. And it says, you know, do you take circles? Do you do, you know, do you do services? Do you do one-to-one readings? And I'm like, oh, I don't do any of these. I'm just psychic. That's what I know. That's all I put on the paper. And I went into this room and at the Arthur Findlay College.
I'm going to pause you. We want to hear all about the Arthur Findlay College and what happened then. But you've just given us so much. I want to go back a bit before I come to the next bit of the story. Is that all right, Dee?
Yeah, no, please.
Because this is just so brilliant. The Arthur Findlay College, it's just so funny, isn't it? When we do feel that lack of confidence because we don't have all these things that everyone else is doing. But before we get there, let's just go back to your early childhood when you said you were experiencing things.
Yes.
What were those things that you were experiencing? Were you seeing spirit people walk through the room? Were you just feeling? What were the experiences, if you could just sum those up?
Insights into Teens, a podcast series exploring the issues and challenges of today's youth. Talking to real teens about real teen problems. Explore issues from braces to puberty, social anxiety to financial responsibility. Each week, we talk about the topics concerning today's youth. We look at how the issues affect teens, how to cope with these issues, and how parents, friends, and loved ones can help teens handle these challenges. Check out our video episodes on youtube.com/insightsintothings. Catch our audio versions on podcast.insightsintoteens.com or on the web at insightsintothings.com.
So I was actually physically seeing people. So they were walking through a door. You know, there was always, I could hear people chattering and it was in the room. I felt like somebody, I think he was like a Quaker, but he was dressed in black and he was always looking over me. And that's where I was scared because it was like a shadow and I didn't know what it was. And then I would go into, we had a big cellar, and to put the light on, you had to walk through the cellar to turn it on. And as I'm walking through in the darkness, I'm hearing somebody calling my name, but my Italian name, which, you know, was like freaked me out because nobody called me by that name, only my mum. And she was upstairs in the shop. So it was things like that. And then I really like history. And when we used to go to castles and, you know, to these stately homes, I would get feelings or I'd know there was something there. And then my mum and dad, they bought a farmhouse, 16th century. And oh my God, I did not want to go there, but I ended up staining all the beams because I'm very creative and very arty and painting. And I just didn't want to go up there on my own because I was so sensitive now to these feelings. And now I would welcome it, but then I didn't. And this is when it got very strong. And this is just before my sister passed away. The door would open. The barn door would open. Then you'd hear footsteps upstairs. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure
The footsteps upstairs are kind of disconcerting, aren't they? Or you can hear someone in the other room or talking. You're like,
oh, yeah. And children running around.
Yes.
You know.
Children running around as well.
Yeah.
So talk to me, Dee, about the Quaker dressed in black. And I'll tell you why, because this is how spirit got my attention in
Did
my
they?
30s by this, what I hadn't really thought about it until you said it, like a Quaker dressed in black.
Yeah.
With a big hat.
Yes. And the big buckles on his shoes.
Yeah.
I remember that. The black shoes with big buckles on and almost like a cape.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I knew he was a Quaker.
Yeah. I just
had that feeling. And and when I was with Christina, and we were developing, she would say to me, oh, this gentleman's just gone up the stairs. If something was to, because I ended up staying at her, you know, renting a room with her for a while. And he used to just like run up her stairs and she would see him. And I know he'd gone up if something was happening that was not good. He seemed to be there. So I'm wondering if he was, I still don't really know now, if he was there to protect me.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because yeah. I was so frightened of my Quaker when I first saw him. And I could see him clear as day. Nobody else could yeah. see him, but I could really see him. I couldn't yeah. understand why other people can't see what is so clearly in the doorway. And then I think during a meditation one day, I said, look, I'm frightened of you. Please, can you present to me in a different way? And he came dressed in white instead of black. And
oh,
then
wow.
it somehow made it a lot more palatable,
yes.
easy for me to,
yes.
to accept that. But that's yes. so interesting, mm. Dee. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this podcast will say, that's happened to me. This has happened to me.
Yeah.
And exactly. this is why I started the podcast, Dee, just so that people have got something, you know, to learn from and to understand they're not on their own and that we've all had these very strange experiences. So go forward then. And you were talking about you'd got as far as the AFC and you were walking into the class. You talked about Tim Abbott and Libby Clark and
yes.
you were just walking. You'd filled out your form and you were feeling like, I'm just a psychic. I don't do any of these things. So take up the story from there.
It was really funny because the first day that I walked in, I got into the lift. I was so scared. And there was lovely Helen DeVita there. She said, oh, you look really scared. There's nothing to be scared about. I went, oh, I don't want to see any ghosts. That's how I said it. And she went, yeah. and she started laughing. And she said, no, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll enjoy it. So I went to my room, and at the Arthur Finley College, you really have to share with people because it's quite old, isn't it? So
yeah, it is old.
It's almost like dormitories, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dormitories,
and I remember going into this room and there was two beds and I was really still scared, thinking, oh, no, what am I doing here? And then this lady walked in and she had like a bag but something in it under her arm. So now I am scared, thinking ghosts are going to come out and what am I doing here? And she said, oh, I hope you don't mind. I've got my husband's ashes here. And I looked at her and I thought, oh, my God. And she said, because I'm going to bury him in the garden, because you can have like remembrance seats and trees and things yeah. like that, which I didn't know then. And she said, but I've had him in the cupboard for 3 years and I was beside myself. And
well,
she said,
I'm not surprised. It's a strange thing, isn't it?
And she said to me, you know, is that okay? And I said, well, and I couldn't speak. And I just went, well, you might as well put him in the cupboard here because he's been in the wardrobe for 3 years. What's another couple of days going to do? So we started laughing.
Right.
And then, as you know, you become really good friends with your roommate, don't you?
You do.
And I remember then going down and you go to the dining room table, and then from the actual list that you've put down, if you're psychic, if you do services and all these things, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. They then put you into different groups of your, you know, if you're a beginner, if you're, you know, sort of in the middle type of thing, advanced mediumship. And I was in Libby Clark's group, and Libby Clark has been the person that really helped me and started me off. I just remember sitting in the group, you'll know this, Anne, and she went round the group and everybody was saying, oh yes, I do readings and I do services and I do this. And I thought, please don't come to me, because I don't do anything and I don't know what you're talking about. Oh. And can I go home?
Yeah.
So she came to me and I was the last person. And she just really looked at me with those deep blue eyes. And she went, now, you're not telling me everything, are you? And I went, oh, I am, I am. Anyway, she said, you know, there's a lot there that you are frightened of. But I can tell you now, by the time that we finish at the end of this week, you will have done a full circle and embrace what you have and what you see.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. It was a wonderful week. I made the most fabulous friends, saw the most wonderful tutors, because you not only was I with Libby, you do see other tutors, as you know. And I grew, and my sister was there, and I had so many messages of proof and evidence. And at the beginning, I couldn't even string a sentence along, you know. Yeah. It was just one words. Yeah. But by the end of it, I started to be able to give a message, learning you've got to really remove that brain of ours that's so busy, put it to one side so that you can channel the spirit world. And there was a lot of meditation, and it was amazing. And from then on, when I went home, I then sat and meditated every day for nearly 2 years, and went back to the Arthur Findlay College quite a few times in different courses. And then I started to be able to do my one-to-ones, do church services, and that's how it came. But it was later on in life. It was in, you know, 50. And now I've been, people say to me, how long have you been doing it? I think, well, God, I've been doing it since I was 3.
Yes.
But professionally, I want to say, I'm giving my age away here, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
10 years now. And I love my work. I love it.
And did you feel after that, probably the first day at the Arthur Findlay College, that you'd found your people?
I felt like I'd come home. This is where I belonged all my life. And I didn't know it until that day. And I feel sad that it took me to 48 to find it. And to not want to sort of do something to myself, sabotage myself, hurt myself, because I thought I was mad. And I realized that, no, I wasn't. And now, if I can, I will always, if I see that in somebody that was like me, I will always say, it's okay. It's normal, whatever you perceive your normal to be. Yeah. And that's how really it's come to me later, although I've always had it.
And did your mother live to see you become a professional psychic medium? Is she still with
us? Yes. No, she passed 4 years ago now, but she became my biggest supporter.
No way.
And my dad, because my dad never believed it.
So, how did that happen? How did that turnaround come?
I think it was when my mom got cancer. And you know what? She was a medium, but she was too scared.
I was going to say, if she could
see, she was too scared. Yeah.
Spirit walking through your bedroom when you were little and blaming you for the spirit person, then she was a psychic.
Exactly. Herself. She was. She started to see my sister, but then I would tell her, "Your dad's here," you know, and I'd tell her something that she hadn't even told me. And then a brother died, and I told her things about how he passed. And she started to get a, because, you know, her family was still in Italy, and she'd been in England since she was 23. So she was in her 70s then, and she got a lot of comfort. She knew then, oh, I know exactly as well, when it was really quite poignant, was her sister's son's little boy died, Eduardo, he was called, and he was a twin. And he was only 5.
That's so tragic, dear.
And
so sorry.
My mum said to her sister in Italy, called Anna, and said, you know what, by my Italian name, Marcella, she can see the spirit world. And Anna, for some reason, said, can I send a photograph? Can she do something? And it was at that point, the photograph was sent from Italy. And oh my goodness, I picked up so much about this little boy, and even down to a fireman's helmet that he had, a toy fireman's helmet, which he had on, and this red ball that he kicked around with his twin brother, even though he was in the spirit world and his twin brother was here, his twin brother was seeing Eduardo.
Wow.
So there was lots of evidence, which is what I like. And it was at that point my mum went, oh my God, there's something here. And it really helped my auntie, you know, and then to go back and tell the family. And that's, I think, is when it happened. And then my parents both came to a service. And then when you're giving messages to so many different people, and they were like, oh my goodness. But my dad then became such a proud person.
Aww.
You know, and but he's in the spirit world now. So I always say, come on, Dad, help me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened.
And so what do you think you could advise the people that are listening who are having, whatever age they may be, because it can happen at any time, as we know, if they're having these experiences of perhaps thinking they're seeing people, hearing noises, maybe hearing chatter, feeling people sitting on the bed next to them, or being aware, as you said, when you had a beautiful experience of your sister's head on your shoulder, what can they do to help themselves?
Well, to me, I would try and go and see a medium, because I say you can go and see a psychic medium, but I just feel that you need to see a medium. Because that person, as they bring evidence through, they can also tap into to see that you're getting all these things and to put your mind at rest, that it's okay. And that maybe to understand it is to try to get yourself into a circle. And that's a circle is with somebody who takes it, who tutors, tells you how to sit in your own power. I know people call it a meditation, but yes, you do a meditation, but then you learn to sit in your own power with people that are like-minded, not people that are going to doubt you or say things, because that's the best way. You need to do what your soul wants you to do. And that is, I would say, go and see a medium. Because a lot of people that come to see me, they've been to see, you know, like psychiatrists or, you know, consultants, because they are experiencing these things. I mean, like if I'd had what I'd had years ago, I'd probably be put in asylum, you know, and I've said to them, you're not going mad. But if you go to see somebody like a counsellor, which I've seen many, it's good. But it's not in another way, because it's all 1 to 10. How do you feel today? Do you want to take your own life? What do you want to do? It's quite cold. And if you're a sensitive person, you need to speak to somebody who actually already sees what your life's been. So you've got the empathy.
Yeah.
And that is how what I would say is go and see a medium. I had a gentleman who came the other day, young man, and he said his wife had told him to come. And he was very nervous, and he sat down with me. And as soon as he sat down with me, I said, I have your daughter here in the spirit world, but she's 7, but she passed when she was 2 weeks old. And I said, you are having these regrets and feeling guilty that you could have done something more, because I know that it was something to do with the medication. And you feel that if you'd have given her this medication, she'd still be here today. And he just started crying, Anne. And I just went, I want you to know, this is how she looks, blonde hair, and it was wavy and everything. And she's brought a heart with her, like a wooden heart, but in red. And she wants to give this to you because that was her time to go. And there was nothing that you could have done to save her. And I said, she wants you to let you know as well, she was wrapped in a blue blanket, even though she's a girl. And he looked at me, and she actually looks like you've got another daughter now, and they look very similar. So I then explained how this person looked. And I want to give you this heart from her. And what I didn't realise was it was Father's Day coming up the following day. Because I said, this is a gift for you. This is some sort of celebration. That wasn't in my head. Yeah. And then he just went, I need to stop you there. Well, Anna thought, oh, no, what have I said? But honestly, I think I'd not even done 10 minutes. He said, I'm never going to go to a medium again. And I thought, oh, no, my heart sunk.
Yeah.
And then he just went, the reason why I'm not going to go to a medium is within 10 minutes, I feel like I can close the chapter on 7 years of hurt and seeing counsellors, because you have given me closure. And I feel I can go on with my life, and knowing that she is happy, she's growing up in the spirit world, and that I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And it's Father's Day, he said, tomorrow. And I just thought, job done. And that's what it's all about, Anne.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story and a very good example of how mediums can heal.
Help, heal. Oh, goodness, yes.
Mm. And so how does somebody find a medium then, Dee? So that's great recommendation. I totally endorse it. But how do they find one? How do they know who to choose?
Well, for me, it goes off recommendation. So you probably, the best thing is to go, if you're not on social media, but go on social media and put in who would recommend a medium, either close by. Some people like yourself can do it on Zoom. I tend to do it in person. I prefer that one-to-one interaction. And that's how I get a lot of my business. But I've been doing it a while now, so a lot of people know me, but it is really recommendation, because you want to go to the right person, because not every medium's the right person for you. But I would go on social media, put it on Facebook or Instagram. Does anybody know of a really good medium, and get the recommendation, because it's difficult to do it now. You can go on online and go on to Google, but that's another way you can see their testimonials. So I think, because it's so difficult these days, because people don't really advertise anymore. So that's, I would suggest that you do that. That's how most people find me.
Yeah. And do your research as well, I would say. Once you find someone,
definitely,
they've been recommended to you, then research them yourself. See how they feel to you. Does that feel right with you? Does that sit right with you? I guess you could also go to your local spiritualist church, who would have a list of mediums.
Absolutely, yes. Because I don't do this services anymore, because I've just been full on with people wanting to book in private readings. But yes, of course, and churches are now open, so it's a good way as well to experience a medium and think, oh, is this for me? And you can start thinking about it, and absolutely, yes, you'd find a good person then.
And then, Dee, just for people who are listening to this podcast who are developing their own mediumship.
Yes.
Taking you back, you were talking about, we as mediums often have very tragic lives, very difficult and challenging things that we've been through. So we have this empathy. And you were talking about sometimes spirit will use our own experiences that will touch our mind. And that is part of the message from them to their loved one that's sitting in front of us as a medium. But the question I get asked by my students is, how do I know that it's not my conscious mind bringing that memory forward? How do I know that's coming from the spirit world?
That's a really good question. I think when you start learning or developing to be a medium, it is hard to distinguish. But as you move forward, what happens to me now is it's almost like that. It's like a television set. So it's like I have two television sets, and I have one at the front of my head and one at the back. And the one at the front is almost like the psychic ability. And it's like I'm watching a movie. And I know it's not me, because what I'm being shown, although it's giving me maybe an impression of something that happened to me, it's actually, I think the best way to describe this is I had another gentleman that came. He was very sceptical. He said to me, I gave him so much evidence about his cousin in the spirit world, but he said to me, I want you to tell me, and I hate it when they do this, what's the name of my new business? And my goodness. So the only way to explain this, they showed me on this television set my son with his controller on the Xbox. So I said, I don't know why, but I keep getting a controller. And then he said to me, oh, that's the name of my business, Control. And I went, oh, so it's something as simple as that gives you, that could have been psychic, which I think it is, but that's what I'm trying to say. How would I know that? But that's how it happened. But I seem to know the difference now. My mind just doesn't come into it. Because there are things that they show you, but it's only a little bit of a hint to help you to get then into the message, into that person.
Because the longer you work as a medium and the more that you work with the spirit world and you're in that flow of information, you know it comes from, you just know. And you know when you're out of that power, you know also when your conscious mind rises and that it's coming from your conscious mind. And you also know what you're clairsentiently feeling and what's coming from your psychic awareness. So you do know as you develop which bit is which, but it does take a long time, doesn't it, to get to know what is what.
And what I didn't tell you about that story is I said to him, control. He went, yeah, that's what it's called. And I thought, that's a really strange name. But it was spelt with a Q and it was Quantrol.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. How would I have ever got that unless the spirit world put that little picture in front of me and my little television set for the spirit world at the back of my head?
It's interesting. I've got a similar story. When I was trying to get the name up, I was standing with spirit and they were showing me a department store, and I knew that I was not in London. The buildings were taller that I could see in my mind's eye, and I knew it was a busy city. So then I knew I was in New York. Then I could see myself in front of Macy's, but I said, I can see the sign on the shop, but it's not Macy. I said, this lady's giving me the name Masti, and they said, oh my god, that was her name. It was an African name. I think it was African. Yamasti was her name. I mean, that's not in my frame of reference at all.
No,
but that was the nearest they could give me to bring round that unusual name.
Exactly. So, and it's so interesting, and I love it when they do things like that.
It's beautiful. So you also said that you're a trained Reiki master, and part of your work that you do with people is obviously there's a lot of healing involved when
yes.
it comes to you. So how do you use your Reiki alongside your mediumship?
Well, I started doing the Reiki, and I was a Reiki practitioner really to hide behind that I was a medium because I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't really want to say anything to anybody because I didn't feel, I don't know, I'm proud now to say I'm a medium, but I wasn't then. So this is why I then decided to do all my Reiki courses, and then I became a Reiki master and practitioner. And the energies are different, though, for me, from doing Reiki to then doing mediumship. That is very strong when I'm doing the Reiki, a lot of healing, and I have helped people regarding another lady where I was doing the healing, and that night she ended up in hospital, and I was like, oh my goodness. But what they'd found is that she'd got cancer, breast cancer, and I thought I brought this on. But then what happened was, it was if I hadn't have done what I'd done, she said to me, they wouldn't have found it. So I then started to realise there's a lot of healing here with me. And so I also picked up quite a lot of spirit world as well. But what happened is that in a way it scared me, because the power of the Reiki is so strong that I was finding that people were finding things and having to go to the doctors. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't want this, even though I know it helped them. So what I did was I then went more into, and this is when I went to the Arthur Findlay College on probably the, I think I might have been in my third year, because once you start, it's honest to goodness, it's like an addiction. And especially when you feel like you've come home. And I started to see that, I think I got a message and somebody said, you heal with your words. You can do it in your mediumship. And so I then came away from the Reiki and then started to do these one-to-ones. And I feel so much healing comes through in what I say, but also before COVID, you could put hands on. Sometimes I used to say, can I hold your hands? And then you'd send, and my hands would go so hot. And with spirit, you're so cold. So it was like real, you know, honestly, it was quite confusing sometimes, but that's really how I do the healing now. Yeah, it's through my readings.
That's really beautiful, Dee. Thank you for sharing that. And then just before we finish, talk to us a little bit about how mediumship changes over the years as we use it, because You mentioned at the beginning that at first you saw spirit and now you don't see them so much. Now you sense them or you feel them. So how has your mediumship changed for you?
I don't actually see them physically anymore. And I think there's still that fear where you go back to a child. But I feel, I sense, I have a knowing. And it's so strong now. And it's become because of practice. It's like there's a muscle there and you've got to keep it. You've got to keep it going. My mediumship has changed in the way that I really feel the connection now with the spirit world. And it's such a lovely feeling. But it's taken a long time to really make sure that it's almost like I said before, you're removing your brain, everything, and putting it to one side and feeling it with your soul, your connection to them, to their soul. Because I know you do a lot of this soul to soul, don't you?
Yes.
I feel that is my connection. I go soul to soul. What is it they need at that moment? And that's what's happening. It's the needs of that person. So they may come wanting something, but they will get what they need at that time to help them to move forward. So, you know, it's okay maybe giving them a few things for the future, which I don't really do because I'm not a fortune teller. You have to go on to Blackpool Pleasure Beach for that. But I want to help them with today. How do they get from today to their future? And I want to inspire them and feel like, you know what? I can do this because life is hard. It is hard, but I can do this. That's what I try to inspire in my readings. And that's where it's changed, Anne. And especially during COVID, so many people didn't get to see their loved ones when they passed and still having trouble mentally and teenagers. Oh my goodness. So I'm even having people coming with their daughters or their sons and sitting with me, so that I can help them. Well, it's not me, it's the spirit world, it's all the senses, like a counsellor. And I love, that's the way my work's gone, almost like a spiritual counsellor. And you know, I love that because it gets to them and you can get into their psyche, if you like. So when you're saying something to them, they understand it because that is what's happened to them. Oh, so now I'm going to listen. So I had another young girl that came with her grandmother because she didn't want to live. Her brother had died and she just wanted to kill herself and be with her brother. And the beautiful thing about that, with how my mediumship has changed, is because I could see what she was doing and why she was feeling this way. But also at the same time, because I know quite a lot about the spirit world because of my sister taking me there and showing me, that I know that she wouldn't be with her brother if she'd taken her own life. She would see him, but she would be into like a hospital, like you would hear, but you know, for you'd have counselling. And she's got a beautiful life ahead of her. And she's, you know, you need to continue your studies. It's going to be something, you know, you're going to change where you're going, but it's going to be right for you. So it's all this talking and healing that's coming with my mediumship now, but I'm using all my senses. And I think it's the way it is today. The world's so different, and it's tough for everybody in different ways.
But that's so beautiful. I mean, it's tragic that you've gone through your own awful challenges and terrible experiences, but it's beautiful that you can use that as a gift to help other people now.
Absolutely. I've always had a mantra, which I've always kept to. I found it, funny enough, before we came on air, if you like. I found it this morning because we've had a lot of building work, so things were in boxes. Yeah. And I thought, oh, my God, this is what I've been trying to do all my life. And I feel proud about this. And I'll read it to you. It says, I shall pass through this world but once, and any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. Aww. And I thought that I've always tried to do that. I've tried to always live a spiritual way, even though there has been lots of very tragic things happen to me. Yeah. Throughout my life, and I've had to get over them. But if you can still keep that in your heart, forgiveness, kindness, do you know what? Things will open up for you. You start healing yourself and loving yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing that we don't do.
Yeah. And it's so important. Starts with us, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
So I have been the recipient, lucky recipient, of a few readings from you over the years. And it's just having a reading from you, Dee Summers, is so beautiful. It's such a healing experience. And the reason is you give so much love and total focus on your client and so listen to and feel into them that it's just you literally leave feeling so uplifted and so healed. So if somebody from who's listening to this podcast wants to come and see you, how do they get in touch with you, Dee? How do they book an appointment?
If you can, if you have Facebook or Instagram, you just need to really go on there. My phone number's there. You know, just text me a message and I'll get back to you straight away. Well, as soon as I can.
Is this in person? Do you read online or do you just do in person?
No, I tend to do in person.
And whereabouts are you in the world for those?
I'm in Manchester.
And you're out and about, aren't you, on the road doing demonstrations? Where can people find you demonstrating if they wanted to come and see you?
Oh, well, that might be a difficult one because it's normally people have done where they have organised it and they get the, you know, it could be at a restaurant.
Oh, fine. So people you understand. Want you, they'll book you and then they organise the event.
They organise it and there's people there as well. Nice. But I do parties where I do come out to somebody's house where there's, you can have, you know, up to 10, 12 people. As long as you're not too far. I mean, sometimes I just have to put a little bit of travel expenses on, then I'll come out.
That's fabulous. And you haven't mentioned in your whole life story to us that you were a dancer.
Yes.
Tell us about that, Dee.
Oh, goodness. So I was a Latin American dancer. I used to be in the Greater Manchester formation team. I also used to be in the British team. And I used to do, before Strictly Dancing, there was a program called Come Dancing, which Bruce Forsyth did at that time as well, and Angela Rippon. And so I used to be on that quite a lot. And it was fabulous.
So brilliant. I just love that about you, that you have this showbiz background and that you're this beautiful dancer and doing all these wonderful shows.
Yeah, and I used to do the theatre as well. So I used to do shows as well and singing. And, you know, I love that side of it. But mainly my life has been, first of all, was working in catering, having our own restaurant with my mum because she was an amazing chef. And then from there, we then started a business up, which was called the Wedding Bureau. So we used to do all weddings. So I did that really for most of my life and had my own business and everything. And in between those times as well, I sort of had a little break away from it. Well, I say a break away, about 9 years, where I then worked for Givenchy and you know, the big stores, Kendall's, and I worked for Kenzo Isimiaki. So I was like the manager there. And so that was fabulous. You know, that sort of really taught me how to sell, if you like. Yeah. And so I loved it. I went everywhere and I used to win all sorts of things. But and then that helped me then with my own business with the weddings, which I said to you, the consultations were brilliant because I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Hard work, 7 days a week. But you know what? That was my life. And it's now I'm now full on doing my readings, which I absolutely adore. And I can pull on that, you know, people still ask me to do weddings, but I'm like, no, not doing any more. I just want to do what I do now.
Yeah, and you're so good at it. You have got a long client list, haven't you, as well?
Yes.
Waiting for you. So I know you're really busy. So I really, you know, we all really hugely appreciate you making time to come on the podcast and just talk about the work that you do and just go through all of that with us. It's so interesting talking to you, Dee. I could talk to you forever and ever.
Oh, Anne, thank you. Oh, I don't even think that, but at the end of the day, I really appreciate that you asked me. And this is the first time I've ever had to talk about myself, if you like. And it's been my pleasure. And I'm so happy that you found it interesting.
Yeah, no, it was so interesting, Dee. I think what's so wonderful is you're so honest about everything that's happened, and you're very real, and people live real lives and they need real help. So
yes, yeah. Well, I know, because I was one of them walking this earth like a zombie, like not knowing where to go, what to do with my life. And you know, as soon as someone sits in front of me, my heart goes out to them in whichever way that they need. I hope to always try to help them, or I hope that maybe a word resonates with them. Because you know, sometimes people can just say something to you and you take it with you for the rest of your life. Sometimes it can be a bad thing, but then there's always the positive one is the one that you rely on and you go back to, and it pushes you forward. You always remember those things. And that's why I always try to be inspiring, because I know that's what I would have wanted. I wanted somebody, I needed somebody for nearly all my life. And so if I can do that, that's what warms my heart, and that's what makes me do the job I do and why I love it.
Dee Summers, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Anne.
Dee Summers, everybody. Do go over to her Facebook page, and if you're lucky enough to live in the Manchester area of the UK, or you would like to take a road trip that way, do book yourself a reading with her. I know she also does psychic parties, as she's mentioned. So if you wanted to get a few friends together for an evening, or if you've got something exciting planned, do get in touch with Dee on her Facebook page. All the resources for this episode, and all episodes in fact, including full transcript and importantly how to reach Dee, are over on my website under podcasts. So do head over there and you can pick everything up on the show notes. And teato.com, AnnTheato.com. And have a little explore while you're over there. I've got some wonderful courses coming up that you might thoroughly enjoy. If you are enjoying these podcasts, please can I ask you to go to iTunes, find the podcast Psychic Matters, scroll down, and you'll see at the bottom a little button you can click on to write an honest review. If you've got an Android phone, you can also leave reviews on Stitcher. Written podcast reviews are so important in helping move the podcast up the podcast charts, which obviously I examine in great detail every week to see how we're doing. So if you feel able to leave a written review, that would be just amazing. I'll be back with you in 2 weeks' time with another incredible guest. You're gonna love who my next guest is as well. Meanwhile, have a great fortnight, everybody. Take care. Once again, my name is Anne Teato, and thank you so very much for listening to Psychic Matters.